Hello and welcome back to the Westell Sports Podcast. Today we are joined by Mr. Lamb, our track coach here, as well as elementary school teacher. And today we're just going to ask you some questions about the track season so far and what to expect in the future and the rest of the season. So how many years have you been coaching track?
Oh, gosh. Off and on since probably 2010, maybe 07. It's been a little while. I don't know. Yeah. A long time.
Okay. So did you run track in high school?
Yes. Okay. I ran cross country. Cross country was my main sport. I ran track in middle school and then a little bit in high school, and then I took a job after school working, so I was doing that for my junior and senior year. But
what is your favorite event?
My favorite event to watch would be any of the relays.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because you get one person, you hand it off and the next leg comes out and they're on fire and they can make up ground or lose ground, and it's exciting. My favorite events to coach would be the throws. I love shot put and discus. They're a blast. Because you can see somebody go out there that looks like a monster and they throw that shot put and it didn't get very far. And you can see some little guy go out there with great form and he's explosive or a girl and they can launch that thing. And it's awesome.
Would you rather sprint or long distance runner?
I'm a distance guy.
Yeah.
That's what I did growing up. I still run a little bit, but not very fast. It's more of I'm in the old man where I kind of plod along and do some of that. But distance running's fun. I mean, sprints are fun too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a couple new improvements to the track here at Westell. What do you think about those?
We have probably the nicest facility in East Central Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the nicest track in the state of Indiana, which is unbelievable. So we the covering on our track is what makes it different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine for sprinters. They won't notice a difference. But where it really matters is for our distance people.
Yeah.
So in high school, we have the 800 we call middle distance. Then we have the mile and the 3200. The 3200 is a 2 mile, and you run 8 laps. And it is one of those mind-numbing experiences that you have to have the little card in front of you just to make sure you know how many laps you got left. But for those kind of events, that surface on that track is going to help those athletes more than it will the sprinters. Yeah. So sort of a cushiony track.
Yeah. How many home meets do we have this year?
Oh, gosh. I think we have 3 home meets scheduled. At the time of this recording, it is, April 22nd. We're supposed to have one tomorrow as our senior night. And then we are going to host MEC coming up later in the season. Weather tomorrow is going to make it kind of sketchy. So we're hoping if we do have a rain out that we're going to reschedule that one being our senior night. And we want to host as many as we can. But with track and field, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you might have a 3-way or a 4-way meet. So you may only have that meet come back around every 4 years.
Yeah.
So for us to, if we had scheduled a whole bunch of home meets this season, which would have been pretty overwhelming being that we haven't hosted one in probably 3 years. It's just an awful lot. If we can spread it out, usually you just go back and forth every year for a dual meet. But with 3-ways and 4-ways, we can bounce it around. So there will be some seasons where we're very heavy on home meets. And some seasons like this, we may only have a couple.
Yeah.
So,
I would imagine a lot of teams would want to come here because our new, like we just said, the new track. I mean, I couldn't see it being.
Yeah. So we've hosted one so far. It was a 4-way meet, and the teams, when they got here, they were amazed. They were like, this is one of the nicest. We've had some officials come out, and one of the track officials was wanting to just brush up on stuff and work on some things to make sure he was ready for meet season. So they came out and talked with us, and we were walking around the track and looking at things. They're just, it's mind-boggling how nice this facility is.
Yeah.
Really is. Do we have a very big team?
Okay. Not yet. So I also coach middle school cross country too. In the past, I'll typically run between 50 and 60 kids for middle school track and field.
Yeah.
Softball and baseball recently started having their middle school program at the middle school rather than just playing Babe Ruth League. And that affects us a little bit. But, Vondi, you know, as a middle school kid, you can still play baseball and run track and field because your practices and your games are usually after that. And you can just prioritize which one you want to do.
Yeah.
Baseball in the high school level is so hard because there's sometimes six games a week, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you're just always playing and your practice is the same time. So it's hard to split. And I mean, as of right now, we've got 38 kids on the team for high school, which is bigger than last year. But my goal, I'd like to get back to numbers where we were when I was coaching initially. I was a throws coach for the girls. There used to be a separate girls and boys coach. And I was the assistant coach for the girls. And I think we had 30 or 35 girls on the team.
Yeah.
So our girls would have numbered where we're at right now for co-ed. So I'd like to get back there. We just got to – this new track I think will help eventually. We just got to get that excitement there. So
yeah, I remember this year I came in and thinking I was going to try to do both baseball and track and then found out there's so much with how many games we have scheduled a week and then trying to go to track at the same time. It was just so much.
It's just really hard. And I mean, in all honesty, you would have a spot on our team. You could come out, but you may only make it to – two meets and maybe one practice. You know, I mean, it's just so hard to do both.
Yeah.
We just had Mr. Hansen in here talking about baseball and we're talking about how many games are scheduled. I think he said there's 28 games.
Yeah. This week last week we had a game every day. And then the Saturday we had two games that took like all day probably in Indy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Is there any like runners or throwers we should be like focused on this year and looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, we've got that. Just because we're a small team doesn't mean we don't have talent. So, like, Jack Rooker last year set our school record in his first track meet ever. He had never done track, never wanted to do track, and his stepdad's one of our coaches and had kind of talked him into it. And he came out and figured out, I'm going to try high jump. It's fun. It looks fun. Everybody wants to jump on the mat. Yeah. It's a blast, right? Keeping middle school kids off the mat's a chore. So he came out, and we were like, okay, yeah, you're doing okay. His first meet, he set our school record. He cleared 6.5, I think, 6.6. And this year we've had three meets. He's cleared 6.4, 6.4, and 6.2. Those are all really good jumps.
Yeah.
He went to regionals last year. Our goal is maybe bump that record up a little bit more and get to regionals again.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we can advance out of sectionals is great. John Cook has really upped his distance game. But then we also have Raymond Dubois, who came up as a freshman. And he is on John's heels, and I love it. I love to see a little competition on the team because John needs somebody to push him.
Yeah.
Last year, Jacob Grant was he ran an 800, one of the meets, and was on his heels the whole time, and John had his PR. Having somebody push you is really, really important.
Yeah.
For the girls, Caitlin Bannister has come out, and she's been running really well this year. We don't have any hurdlers. You know, there are spots we have. I'd love to have hurdlers. I would love to have somebody to fill all those events. But, you know, we've got some girls. Caroline Kayward's doing four events.
Mm-hmm.
She's our high jumper. She's a long jumper. She's involved in some relays. And we could probably put her in other places if they're allowed more than four events. We just can't. So
who are our seniors and how many are there?
Oh, gosh, you're going to put me on the spot. Okay, so we've got Jack Rooker, Jenna Love, Triton Blevins, Dooley, and there's one more, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't remember. Give me a minute, and I'll think about that one. But we got five seniors this year.
Yeah, I was trying to help you because I have a class with them, like the seniors, and they're always talking about it, and I can't think of it either.
Yeah, I can't think. I'll think about it. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
It's all good.
We're going to, like, insert that name into like the brush up recording later, right?
Sure, yeah.
What does practice look like for you guys so far this season?
So what we try to do, and this is kind of tricky because I also coach the middle school team. So there are nights that I try to be doing things with both groups. I've kind of taken on the distance kids. That's easy for me to do because I know a lot of them cross country. There's not that many of them, and I can give them a workout, and I trust that they're going to go do it. We try to work on, in the beginning of the season, we do a lot of agility, a lot of speed work. plyometric stuff, and then we'll move into where we'll do like a Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are really, really hard practices, and Tuesdays and Thursdays are a little lighter, and we'll work on field events. You know, if you're only a field event person, you still need to work hard on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're gonna do speed work. If you're a distance person, we're gonna do different distance workouts. And then as you approach meet season, things change a little bit. I mean, obviously, I love meets because the kids work hard, right? I always think of all these meets leading up to county conference and sectional as our really hard practices. Mm-hmm. So like last week we had three high school meets and a middle school meet. So on Friday, those high school kids didn't have to practice because they had pushed themselves, you know.
Yeah.
We had Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and they were beat. So in the middle of the week when we had our Wednesday night, we just had kind of an easy practice. We stretched a lot. Stretching is really important. So we stretched. We did some I was at the middle school meet. I think they ran an easy mile, stretched, went home. So it just kind of depends. You know, this week we've got two middle school meets and two high school meets. So our high school kids will practice easier practices because they'll both be pre-meet practices. And then middle school meets are also ran by high school athletes. So they'll be kind of taking the role of leadership on and saying, okay, we're going to run this event. This is how this works. They'll help the middle school kids understand. And then they'll be our officials for that meet.
Has there been any, like, middle school meets at home yet?
We have had one middle school meet. We keep getting rainouts. I was joking with the officials the other night. They've had more meets canceled than they've actually officiated. They said it's crazy rainy this season. We have not had a middle school home meet yet. There will be, let's see, this week is the middle school meet is a Wednesday. No, we have two middle school meets. Friday night's conference on that is at Monroe Central.
Yeah.
And I think our next middle school home meet is next week. I'll have to go back and look. There's so many.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes I get on the bus and I'll ask the driver where we're going because I'm like, wait, which meet is this? Is this a high school meet? Is this middle? We're going to Knightstown. Okay, sounds good. Let's get there. So,
so tying into that, what does your practice look like? In taking that right now and then towards like the end of the season, come like tournament or regional sectionals, whatever it is, do you think it'll end up changing when we get to that?
For practice?
Yeah.
The way practices look? Yeah. When I used to coach with Mr. Sims, he would always talk about the taper. We're in the taper where your practice is kind of easy, ease up a little bit. You're in the best shape of the season you could be. We've worked really, really hard. We won't taper that much. Yeah. But honestly, it's because I think we're still going to have, like, if tomorrow night's meet gets canceled for weather, we're going to bump that into next week. So that'll put us at three high school meets next week as well. So, I mean, I feel like the way our meets are so crammed in here, we're not going to have a ton of time to taper. Obviously, sectional week, there won't be any other meets other than sectionals. Mm-hmm. So we will really focus on the little things that we need to get nitpicky with. And we feel like we've had a good practice, we'll go home. You know, you don't want to go out there and throw as many shot puts as you can because you're not always bettering yourself. Sometimes it's better to get out there, focus on a little bit, get a really good throw and you say, okay, I'm going to leave it there. You don't want to follow it up by a throw that looks terrible. Then you're frustrated and you leave with a bad headspace. So, it just kind of depends on the event, on the athletes, what we need to brush up on. But I mean, It will vary.
Yeah,
you always got to end off practice right.
Yeah.
Who's all on the coaching staff this year?
So Mr. Danny, who works with me at the elementary, he is our throws coach. He also works a little bit with the middle school kids, and I was talking to him at lunch today, and he's actually planning on coming to our middle school meet this week just to kind of be there and talk to the kids. He just loves all things throws. He was a thrower for a little while as well. And his coach was a very talented coach. He's bringing some of those same things into what he's doing with our kids. Plus, we have Van Mater, who's not necessarily a track coach, but our throwers, they spend 45 minutes in the weight room before they get out to practice. So we consider him part of that. Coach Knott, Josh Knott, is one of the most knowledgeable people I know in track and field. I could not do this without him. He is our sort of fast people coach. We call him, you know, sprints. He loves the relays. He ran for Westdale when he was here. He spent a little bit of time on the track team at Anderson University. So he lives and breathes track and field. Yeah. And then his daughter, Jackie, who just graduated, I think 2 years ago, She attends Taylor University right now. She came out as a volunteer coach just because she wants to be out there. So, and then our middle school coach, Mrs. Miller, is also out there occasionally doing, and she's mostly with the middle school kids, but if I needed to put somebody in and say, hey, can you work with it? She'd work. We're kind of like a team out there. We all just kind of like, we go where we need to go.
So how does the timing setup work for track?
Timing for events? Like,
well, I heard like the someone said was talking about like the new, like,
we have a new timing system.
Timing system for the track.
I would love to know how that timing system works. We have not got it all installed yet. Okay. So we are going to have a timing system. Right now, depending on the meet that you're running, if it's a dual meet, you're only going to score 3 places, first, second, third.
Yeah.
If it's a four-way or a three-way, you know, you'll score more. And then in the big meets, we need timers for all 8 lanes. So what we end up doing is having staff members come out, typically our parents come out, and we'll run stopwatches. You just need a lot of volunteers. Well, now that we're going to have this timing system, it'll hopefully be a little bit more accurate.
Yeah.
There will be a smaller margin of error, and we can use those volunteers in other places, right? Like, we'll still have to have people kind of watching, but probably not as many. Mm-hmm. It'll just allow us to run a smoother, more accurate meet.
Yeah.
I talked to Mr. Denny last week. I think there was three wires waiting to be wired up electrically. And then there's a big training process. We're going to train all the coaches. There will be some people in the building. I think it's a 5.5-hour training or something it's going to be a long one. So we'll see how that works. I'm crossing my fingers. Now, when we run, we're going to host, like I said, MEC. The conference meets, they have a timing company come in, which just happens everywhere you go. They pay somebody to come in and run that meet, and it makes my life a lot easier and everybody else too. So,
yeah. I remember middle school year when we ran county, I think it was Delta, they had like that laser pointer that they used. It was weird.
Yeah. It's so much more accurate, and it's just nice.
Yeah.
You know, and you're technically not allowed to do any pictures or videos. Like, you know, if I wanted to stand there at the finish line with my camera and video, or go back and watch it in slow-mo or take pictures or whatever, you're technically not allowed to do that. It can't be used in deciding a race, but
yeah,
I mean, it's basically what the timing system's doing, right? It's keeping track for us. So
how would you describe your coaching style?
I'm pretty laid back with a lot of things. I want athletics to be fun, and I want it to be something that you can walk away from and take something into your adult life. Mm. So much can be learned from athletics. Don't mistake that for me not being competitive. I like to win, but at the same time, I realize we're not going to win everything that we do out there, but every time we walk away, we can walk away with something positive we gain from that experience. You can learn an awful lot from losing.
Yeah.
And those are the things that I like to focus on. I don't want to get down or in a negative headspace if we're not successful, because if we're not successful on the wins and the losses, we're still learning from those losses. I like to see kids come out and work. I don't get riled up too much, but if you're just somebody who doesn't come to practice, I'm going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Right. All I ask is you come out and do your best. I don't expect you to come out and, like I said, I don't expect you to win every meet. I don't expect you to win every event you're in, but I expect you to do your best, and I want you to be respectful.
Yeah.
I don't deal well with a lot of mouthing off, arrogance. I don't accept people speaking disrespectfully to officials. We're ambassadors for Westdale. We have Westdale on our uniform. People know who we are, and I want people to see us as a team representing our school well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what every coach is like here, and it's awesome. I love that environment that we're representing something, and it's always good to have a good, positive outlook on the school.
Yeah.
So what has been the most challenging thing that you have had to deal with as a coach, or that has happened to you as a coach? You've been coaching for a while, so I bet you can maybe pinpoint
one. There's a handful of things. So it is one of those things where when I first started coaching, it was my first year teaching. I had no desire to coach. I wanted to be a teacher. I love teaching. I love my job. That's my number one thing that I try to focus on. And I know there was nobody to coach cross country that particular year, and I'd had cross country experience. And a parent reached out to me and said, would you be willing to take this on? And as a 24-year-old kid, I was like, sure, why not? I'll help out. I learned an awful lot in that season. And I think I coached varsity cross country for like 7 years. And then, I had my first child and, I decided I would coach one more year in track and then kind of step back a little bit and try to be a parent. And Mr. Denny reached out to me a couple years later and said, I know you're done, but I need a middle school coach. And that's when I stepped into middle school, and I've been in and out, just because I also coach robotics. I also coach archery. You know, I have some extracurriculars that I'm involved in. So, pretty busy. And one thing that's really hard as a coach, for any coach, not just for me, is it's important to have consistency, right? And I wish that we could find some coaches to come in and spend some time here. I hate it when we have somebody in track and field for a year or two and then they step away, because it's hard on our kids. And it's hard coming in as a coach when you're following up a coach that was very successful, a coach that kids liked working with. And the same is for teaching. When you walk into a situation like that, you're going to have some pushback. You got to get kids to buy in, and that's difficult. And sometimes there's a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, give me a chance. I'm going to do things differently. I know I'm going to do things differently, but it'll work out if we just focus on getting better. And that's probably the biggest challenge I've seen as a coach. And I don't know any – especially in a small school setting like this, there's no real way around that. It's just, that's just part of life. It happens in a lot of places. So,
yeah.
So, this is a question that I ask all of the coaches we interview, and we're going to wrap it up here with this one. So is coach mode like always on for you? Obviously being a teacher, you know, you got students to focus on, grading, all that kind of stuff, but do you always like, are you always in coach mode, or do you have it in the back of your mind, or is it like when you're in school, you're a teacher and strictly a teacher, and then after it's like, all right, now I can go be a coach?
I kind of feel like coach mode and teacher mode are very similar, because as a coach, you're still teaching kids things, right? I guess I could call it school mode and not school mode.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like just the other night I was laying there and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and I was just thinking about, okay, we got this meet coming up. I got to focus on this. We got to make sure that meet's in direct athletics. We got to, you know, load a roster. So it never really turns off. It just becomes like part of your regular routine, right?
Yeah.
Even in off season. I mean, I have other things going on when I'm not coaching track and field or if I'm not coaching cross country. But I'm still thinking about, like, okay, we got to get ready for this. You know, in the summer, our cross-country kids are running all summer. Yeah. So I'm not in season, but I'm working on getting – you know, Coach Knuckles does the same thing with football.
Mm-hmm.
There are nights we're out at track practice, and he's out there just like we are in the cold weather and the rain, and you guys are out, you know, doing drills, doing things.
Yeah.
So you never really get away from it. You just kind of have to find a way to do your regular life and have this be part of what you do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sitting down with us today.
Sure.
We'll probably be checking in with you in the next week or two for a follow-up. You said you have a tourney meet this weekend.
Friday, I got a middle school conference meet.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. We'll get back with you whenever it starts to pick up a little bit more. Again, thank you for sitting down with us, and the best of luck to you in the rest of the season.
Yep, thank you.
The Westdale Warrior Sports Podcast is a production of Westdale Warrior Cast, recorded in the Podcast Center located in Room C10 of Westdale Middle High School, nestled in the rural surroundings of Gaston, Indiana. You can listen to all podcasts produced by Westdale Warrior Cast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you find your podcasts. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at westdalewarriorcast@gmail.com. You can also find Westdale Warrior Cast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks for listening.